The best way we're trying to do it in 2024, if I had to boil down our marketing plan in 2024, is show, don't tell. I'm much more interested in spending time achieving an award that shows the excellence in services rather than telling everyone that I'm really good at what do I do, right? So we're doing a lot of that. And then I think the next biggest pivot is it's super hard to market to marketers. They're we are the biggest critics, right? And I think that's one of the hardest things I find with my job is that my target audience is myself. So I have to really think about and sit down, like, what would be of interest to me to learn about? Why would I care about that? I am probably served to the most out of anyone, content.
Hi, welcome to another episode. I'm your host, Brian Maddox. With me today is Ashley Baer from the Abbey Agency. Welcome, Ashley.
Hi, good morning.
So if you could tell our listeners about your background a little bit, that'll be super helpful. And then we'll get into some of the hard to market issues.
Sure. I am originally from Alaska, which I rarely find anyone who is. I did a Master of Arts and Bachelor's of Arts from the University of Idaho. And then I've been about roughly around 15 years as a marketer here in Las Vegas, Nevada. I started in market research and then shifted into that mega resort, big brand hospitality, working for brands like MGM Resorts, Venetian Resort, Caesars Entertainment. I kind of bumped around all over and was just a little tired of the same kind of things. I'm ready for something different. And so I made the move about 3.5 years ago to the Abbey Agency.
So what is your role there and how does that kind of play into your background?
Yeah, my role is director of marketing there. Originally, I started in client services brand management because that's kind of what I'd done at the resorts. After a couple of years, I shifted more into a role that now oversees SEO and content development for the agency. I also oversee the paid media department as well as the organic social media content. So quite a bit of the owned and paid services for the
all
agency
of the
there.
things.
Yeah, quite a few of the things. I've learned that marketing is kind of a scary word because it's very big.
It
It can
is.
include almost anything, it turns out.
Yeah, it's the utility infielder, I guess, of all of the stuff that no one really knows how to do or what to do, at least in the corporate side.
Yes.
So what is the role of the Abbey Agency? Who's an ideal client and kind of what are you going after in terms of your target acquisition?
Yeah, the Abbey Agency is a mid-size agency. We're headquartered in Reno, Nevada. We have offices in Las Vegas and Helena, Montana, actually. We are a full service agency, as many people say, but we do have digital experience, marketing, SEO and content, public relations, public affairs, social media, paid media, creative, and our creative expands from branding all the way through to like design and production. We like to say we're an outcome obsessed full service agency. What that means is we adhere to a performance driven mindset as best we can. Our client bases are, we're kind of have a chunks of clients. Our bread and butter, or like our heart, is travel and tourism. That's kind of where we're born from and a big part of our client base. In that respect, we fit really nicely with mid-sized DMOs in California, Nevada, Montana mostly, but we're looking to expand that geographic region. We also have several tech clients. We fit quite nicely with that because of our public affairs background. And we have several team members that have some tech and B2B experience. So we sit nicely with that. It's like I said, it's kind of chunks of people. We have another chunk that's professional services. That can be anything from like real estate and developers through to lawyers. And then we also service healthcare and kind of government clients. We've worked for the Nevada DMV in the past, the Office of Economic Development, and a number of other government clients for the state of Nevada.
Gotcha. And that sweet spot, what are your typical client engagements look like in terms of cost and length of time and scope?
Length of time does depend on the industry that we're working in. For example, our tech clients or our professional services clients can have a higher propensity to be project-based, or we're aligning with them. Government too, government can kind of sit. Sometimes we come on as retainer services. Other times we're there for longer projects for potentially campaign-driven funding is where we'll come into play to help develop campaigns and messaging and market for those clients. And then our tourism clients, we typically have larger retainer-based services, more full service there. Our contracts are anywhere from my gosh, from $50,000 up to 5 million, 10 million. It depends on the length of contract.
So that you're in that kind of mid-market space, I think it's fair to say, in terms of who your typical engagements are looking like. When it comes to and so you also span across so many different industries, right? When it comes to identifying that sweet spot and building a marketing plan, you can't obviously build the same plan for everybody, right? So you're not going to market to the government the same way you're going to market to, the local tourism. What is the area of opportunity that you guys are pushing for? What sort of is the thrust of your major marketing efforts right now? It's going to be hard to market across all of those things at full volume all of the time as one, one marketing director, as we know. What are you going after?
Man, the marketing plan is probably for the agency, the most difficult marketing plan that I work on. It is it's a complex equation of how of the market that we're the actual geographic market that we're looking to make an impact on. We have more brand equity in certain markets than others. We are newest to Montana, for example, and we have a very strong foothold in Reno, and the state of Nevada. Las Vegas is a little bit different. We're newer to Las Vegas, but we are starting to kind of build that acumen and equity there. So that's one part of it. The second is the industry as well. Like I said, we are born from travel and tourism. So we have through about 15 years, kind of built up how we would approach each of those markets. Newer markets are different. So one of the biggest things that I'm making the shift with the agency is a spend in SEM and SEO a little bit more in time and effort. That is under comes from findings of discovery that we do have through word of mouth and a nice reputation when our customers are looking for the Abbey agency, are looking for an agency similar to us, or have kind of heard about us in a little way. They're finding their way there, and we're making that conversion. Where the next step for us is garnering a foothold in those that are searching for public affairs in Nevada, marketing services, for travel and tourism in general, right? Like we're trying to go bigger, fish in a bigger pond, essentially. We've been doing kind of through word of mouth and actually more so, I'd say less word of mouth, more impact in community, making the right impression in the market. But now's the time to kind of add a layer of marketing on top of that. The best way we're trying to do it in 2024, if I had to boil down our marketing plan in 2024, is show, don't tell. I'm much more interested in spending time achieving an award that shows the excellence in services rather than telling everyone that I'm really good at what do I do, right? So we're doing a lot of that. And then I think the next biggest pivot is it's super hard to market to marketers. They're the we are the biggest critics, right? And I think that's one of the hardest things I find with my job, is that my target audience is myself. So I have to really think about and sit down, like, what would be of interest to me to learn about? Why would I care about that? I am probably served to the most out of anyone, content. So how do I prepare content that's not only SEO worthy so I can get in front of the right person, but it's actually of interest and provides useful and relevant information to them. I'm asking myself that probably like 90 times a day because it's tough. We're a tough audience. So,
yeah, I mean, there's, and we can definitely talk about the mechanics of that, but, and I want to get to it, but I want to first ask, what is the average, amount of times or length of time, cycle time to close a deal from maybe initial contact on your website all the way through to a closed project or a closed retainer deal? How long is that? What does that funnel look like?
It depends on the industry. Our tourism clients typically go out for RFP or government. That cycle is can be up to like 9 to 6 months, depending. They have quite a few layers. So there's, you know, a lengthy pitch, you know, presentation, RFP process, and a lot of time kind of in between. And there's also kind of that like warming of the contacts and like making sure you're in the community and attending conferences and things like that. So those are quite long. The more project-based, and then we found in the tech sector, some of the healthcare accounts, mostly professional services, that can be a much quicker turn from lead through to conversion. And I would say that is anywhere between 3 months to even sometimes 4 weeks. It can be pretty quick depending on, you know, we have a certain sets of services or come into situations where a client's like, I lost my agency. I need someone to step in right away. Or we're in need of someone for crisis management. In that instance, we would come in very quickly, pretty much starting work as we're signing scope. So can be immediate if needed.
Yeah, that's interesting because I think, you know, particularly in the space where, you know, to your point, the marketers are very sensitive to getting marketed to and at in many ways. You've got some interesting challenges when it comes to that long cycle time for developing them into a client relationship. So we talked earlier about building the referral side of the conversation. What does that look like? How is that, you know, what percentage of your business is coming by referrals? What percentage of your business is those new acquisition activities that you're undertaking?
My gosh. I would say referrals, this is an estimate, but I'd say it's around 50% of the business was much higher now. We're going out for bigger contracts, some national or regional, so that isn't necessarily a direct referral at that point. The referral process, it's a lot about, you know, we have three different approaches to events and conferences and our engagement into the community. First is individual learning. You know, we are the subject matter experts, so we have a lot of responsibility to make sure that we're on top of our game in each and every aspect as we can, and making sure that we're cutting edge as far as that. The second is building network contacts. There are certain places that we need to be to make sure that we're maintaining the conversation with our current clients and any perspective. And there's a number of conferences and events that a group of us here at the agency do attend in order to do that. And the third is for active authority building for the agency. So we're speaking at a conference or sponsoring, et cetera. So,
or on full podcasts like this
one. Something just like this. Yeah, exactly.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So how do you identify those new community engagement opportunities for the emerging markets that you're going after? I mean, you talked about that three-prong approach to doing that. But there's the conferences you already attend. Those are the easy ones, right? You just kind of sign up again for the next year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the new stuff, the new conferences, the new communities that you want to engage in, what does that look like? How are you identifying those?
Yeah. It depends on the market. Honestly, it's really important to have an authentic approach to each market and to make sure that you're received by the audiences in that market, how how best you can be. The best way for me to share that is an approach into the Las Vegas market is very different in how you approach Montana, for example. Las Vegas is a little bit flashier. We have to make the biggest impact we can. It's a busy market and there's a lot happening. It's also rapidly evolving all the time. Our best way to make an impact there. We just actually signed on with a Nevada Grant Lab to do $100,000 in pro bono marketing services for them. And they are a nonprofit that helps nonprofits across the state of Nevada garner funding. That is a great way for us to make an impact in Las Vegas, as well as the state of Nevada, and make sure that our name is heard in that market in the right way. Montana is a little bit different. The Montana audience is less interested in outsiders coming in, for example, to be quite frank. So for us, that's a lot more about smaller impact moments that are well researched and as meaningful as possible, partnering with philanthropic organizations, doing in-kind work there, and making sure that every way in which we approach the market, it comes from experience in the market. We have quite a few people from Montana. We have a team there and we're just straight up obsessed with it. So we make sure to take the time to get to know it. I would say overall for us, anytime we look to approach any project, we are a certified B Corporation. That means that we value people, planet, profit equally. And that helps us. One, we can look for those organizations to partner with to start. It also gives us kind of a North Star in bringing our vision to life, which is making meaningful impact in the communities that we work with and inspiring big hearts to achieve bold things. I think the key thing there is the big hearts. We need to find those people because we're the ones who can bring bold to life in a way.
That's awesome. So that sort of charity or community engagement driven approach to marketing is something that's a pretty strong differentiator, I think, for you in the marketplace. What's the response has been like in the different industries you're trying that in? I mean, in the government space, that's got to be easy to get traction with, right? Because that kind of community engagement is their bread and butter. But with the other market spaces you're going after, like tech or what have you, is that approach working just as equally well?
That's a good question. I think that it does have it cuts through the clutter in the early stage of garnering prospective clients, whether or not that's something that they have in mind to bring to life in this campaign, in this project, et cetera. It's not directly tied, but it does help them distinguish us as someone that they might work with. I think it's also important to note that, yes, our vision and bringing that to life has to connect. We ideally, it connects with another organization, but let's say in tech, if maybe it doesn't necessarily connect with their organization, it still might resonate with the lead, the person that we're working with, our partner, in bringing things to life. And I think you cannot forget about the emotional connection with your main point of contact or the people that you're working with, because that might be the draw for you. I will say that the agency also has other elements that maybe resonate more with potentially the tech clients, and that would be our kind of more performance driven mindset, the test and learning situations that we build and drive performance from. We try to be as tied to goals and outcomes as possible. Not all industries are as tied to goals as some others are, but making sure that we are as not aggressive is the word, but fierce is kind of the word we like to use. We are a fierce and agile organization, and that does resonate very well with clients that are in the tech space, for example. They are fast moving. They want results. If they don't achieve immediately, they want to try something new to garner that performance as quick as possible.
Gotcha. So Ashley, if somebody wants to reach out and learn more, how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can get a hold of me individually on LinkedIn, Ashley Bear, or you can reach out to the agency at theabbyagency.com.
So. Awesome. And in your marketing journey to date, here's the big question. What are the three biggest things that you picked up along the way?
Yeah, three biggest things. In marketing in general, the more you know about your audience, the better your marketing is going to be. So take as much time as you can to learn every single thing about your audience because it is really what makes it matter. I think the second thing for me is a little bit more career related, but it's easy to learn the hard skills. But actively and consciously developing your soft skills and starting that as early as you can in your career will be remarkably helpful for you moving forward. And I think the last thing for me is kind of where you get the spirit in marketing, but it comes from leadership, and it's that inspiration really is the key to everything. That is what develops higher levels of passion and ultimately increased productivity and staying on top of trends and becoming a better leader. Inspiration really is kind of that key to unlocking it. And I think the biggest thing that I've learned is that you have to make time and space to allow yourself to be inspired. And that has been a journey for me. You get into the weeds of everything and time goes by and you kind of forget to stop and smell the roses per se, but put time on your calendar to read into articles, to walk and listen to a podcast, to find and put yourself in spaces where you can be inspired, because that inspiration is what leads to good marketing that matters.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Ashley. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Hey, you. Yes, you. It's 2024 and you don't have a podcast yet. Or maybe you do, but you're struggling with it. We will talk to you about that for free. We'll help you figure out where you might be stuck, whether or not we can help you for sure. But also, if you don't have one yet, what are the first five things you can do? What are some great angles that you can use to make sure that your podcast was sustainable as you start to develop that moving forward? Those consults are free. So reach out at the link below in the show notes or email me at brian@podcastchef.com. Thanks.
Hi, this is Brian. Thanks for listening to the show. Our website, podcastchef.com, has a ton of useful information about how to best leverage podcasting to help you solve some of your business goals and challenges. You can also schedule a demo where we can show you how specifically Podcast Chef and our team can help you with some of your podcasting goals. Thanks.